It's a very different view from here. I bet it's a different view from there as well. And you'll know for next time that it's quite warm. I don't think we're going to struggle during the winter with the heating in here, God willing. And also, I just encourage you, we're not quite sure with the refreshments how that's going to work just yet, but you can bring your own refreshments with you. If you want to bring a drink, hot or cold, then I encourage you to do that. Until we've just got to work out with the university the logistics of refreshments. Let's turn. If you've got a Bible with you in one shape or another, we're in the Psalms. We're going to carry on in the Psalms, looking at the Psalms of Ascent. And we're going to be today looking at Psalms 126. When I was thinking about it this week, we haven't got the space to do one every week, so we've been looking at different psalms, and the two that I was looking at were Psalms 126 and 127, and I just felt like I wanted to speak out of 126. So as you're turning and finding that, I just want to say as well, it's great to have Alan with us, and so we just want to welcome Alan. Alan's been back in the country for a few weeks. Do you want to just come down, Alan, and let's give Alan a welcome. It's great to see him. Some of you won't know, Alan and Lorna are serving with OMF out in Thailand. Do you want to just bring a few greetings, say a few words?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for all your prayers and support. It's fantastic. Whilst during that last song, I was reflecting on God's presence. Am I alone? Do I feel lonely? No. Is my brother with the Lord? Yes. And that's just a fantastic privilege to be able to share that. So, yeah. And it's fantastic to hear of new people going abroad. It's just good and proper that we should have a worldwide view, because we're not just an insular little island. We are an island, but we're part of a world community. So thank you for those two who shared earlier. And it's exciting to that. And yeah, you're never too old to do. You might have grey hair, but you can still serve. So, yeah, anyone who's approaching retirement, think about where you're going to go with your next gap year.
Great, thanks, Alan. And send our love and greetings to Lorna as well. Yeah, she's back in the work context. So we're in Psalm 126, and a few weeks ago I had the privilege of being in London, and I got to speak at Spurgeon's Baptist Training College. So those of you who have any Baptist connections in your history will know a little bit about Spurgeon. He was a Baptist minister in the sort of late 19th century, and out of his church and all that God did through him, a college was formed, and it's where a lot of Baptist ministers are trained. And Spurgeon was once criticized for his preaching. Sometimes it does happen to us preachers. And he was criticized for putting too much laughter in his sermons. He wasn't lacking the gravity of preaching the Word of God. And the lady came to speak to him and said to him about this, that he was just too, it was just not serious enough. And he said to her, "My good lady, if only you knew how much I restrain myself." And this psalm, Psalm 126, talks about joy. It talks about laughter. And we're going to have a little bit of a look at these verses here. There's not that many. There's only six verses, and we're going to look at how this psalm encourages us to experience more joy. Sometimes, unfortunately, it seems to me that Christianity and joy can be mutually exclusive. I don't know whether that's your experience of Christianity, that sometimes it feels like actually to be a Christian, it's quite a serious thing. But this psalm refers to joy. And And when we talk about joy and talk about happiness and talk about laughter, talk about cheerfulness, sometimes we can have a number of excuses. Some of us can say, well, actually, that's not my personality. It's a bit like, are you a morning person or are you an evening person? It's like, if you're not a morning person and somebody gets up and starts singing around the house, it's like, that's just not good. But joy isn't like that. It's not like my temperament is this. I'm not a joyful person. I'm more of a serious person. And there's something about our joy that goes much deeper than that. Nor is joy about faking it. That's perhaps the other danger sometimes in Christian circles, is that people can sort of say to you, how are you? And there'll be this fake smile. I'm fine, thank you. How are you? I'm not talking about that either. I'm not talking about it being a temperament thing, and I'm also not talking about it being a fake thing, that you sort of put a smile on your face and you say, yeah, the joy of the Lord is my strength, or rejoice in the Lord always. It comes a little bit cliched. I'm not talking about that either. I'm also not talking about the Christian joy that sometimes is so deep, you know, the deep, deep joy of the Lord, that it's so deep that you never tell your face that you've got the joy of the Lord. So deep. I want us to look at this psalm and see what this psalm says to us about joy, about laughter. And let's read a few verses from that psalm. So it starts off, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. The context of the psalm is thinking about when God restored the Israelites and he brought them back out of exile. This is towards the back end of the Old Testament's history. It's at the time when the northern kingdoms, the southern kingdoms have both gone into exile, and particularly Babylon is where many of them have been in exile. It's around the period, if you want to read about it, to do with Daniel, to do with Jeremiah. This is remembering the time when God brought them back. When God brought them back from their exile. And it's a little bit about living the dream. And in Scripture, when it talks about Zion, when the Lord restores the fortune of Zion, when the Scriptures use that word Zion, it's not just referring to Jerusalem, which was the place where the Old Testament was centered on. The Jerusalem was the important city because within Jerusalem was the temple. Within the temple was the Holy of Holies. And within the Holy of Holies was the presence of God. So in the Old Testament, when it talks about Jerusalem, that's why it's such an important city. That's why it was called the City of David. That's why it was the capital city. But actually, as we know, as you come into the New Testament, the presence of God isn't restricted to a particular place at a particular time in a particular location. So for them, when they went into exile, one of the biggest things that they struggled with was that the temple was destroyed. And it was like, we can't go to Jerusalem. They couldn't go to Jerusalem. And this is why the pilgrimage aspect of these psalms was so important, because that in their understanding and in the way that the New Testament revealed itself in terms of the teachings, it was about this place where God's presence was. But actually, Zion is much more than that. Zion is actually where God's people dwell. Because now where God's people dwell, That's where the presence of God is. So I want to encourage you, you know, I don't know what you feel, what it feels like to you coming together in this location. I had a really interesting meeting on Friday. I came down with Hazel and we met the caretaker of the building. And it was all this last minute thing to get the car park so we could have the staff car park. And so we came down and met him. And he was a really jolly chap. He was really quite a funny character. And when we arrived, the barrier at the front was gone. That's why it's so easy to get on this morning, because actually there's a barrier at the front car park and you have to press the reception button to get in. And so when I arrived, he said, oh, that barrier, a lorry broke it that morning, came into the car park and bumped into it. And he said, it must be your fault, man of God. I thought, why? He said, well, you wanted to use the car park on Sunday. I said, oh, well, it's a bit of a bonus for us, isn't it? And he said, I thought it was a mistake in the bookings where it said, Sunday the 1st of November, Hull HBC Chester hyphen church use. And he was like, church? Why is church using the university? And I, it was just a great opening conversation to say, well, actually, we are doing a lot of new things as church. Church is not about a building. And that's some of the leftover stuff, isn't it, from the old covenant, that the presence of God was about a building. That's why Jerusalem was so important. But now the presence of God is not about a building. It's about where the people of God gather. Because the presence of God is in you. The presence of God is in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. So when we come and gather in this place, we find that the presence of God is here. Even though it's a little bit of an unusual environment for that. And I want to encourage you to press into that, not to feel as though, because we're not in a particular church building context, not to not have that expectation that the presence of God will be here. That God will restore. And in this passage, it's interesting, it starts down, doesn't it? It's like, it talks about the Lord has restored the fortunes of Zion. And I think we explained this before, that sometimes in the Psalms, there's quite a lot of what we call parallelisms, where the way that it's written in the Hebrew was quite poetic. And we lose some of that poetry because it's been translated into the English. And in the way that it's translated in the Hebrew, it says this. It says, when the Lord restored us to a restored situation. It's when the Lord restored us to a restored situation. It's not about our fortunes. It's not like, oh, we've just got a little bit lucky. Like, you know, it's not like, you know, aren't we really lucky as a church that the university have let us use this place? We don't believe in that luck. Certainly, I don't think we should. It's not like our fortunes have, you know, have just changed and we now have a lucky streak. It's like, actually, God has restored us to a restored position. That's why, in this context, they could be glad. So many of us do think in the world that actually we'll be happy when we get to a certain point. That actually when our fortunes do change. That's why the lottery is so important to people. It's like, if I just won £1 million, if I just won at this amount of money, then I would be happy. Or if I just got this latest car. Or if I just got this latest clothing. Or if I got this next job. If my fortunes changed, then I would be happy. I think a lot of people live with that mindset. And what this psalm is saying to us, actually, our position of joy is irrespective of our fortunes. It's about recognizing that we've been restored to a restored position. And that's what these Israelites were aware of. And so they were like those who were living a dream. It was like, for them, this concept that God had restored them was like, this is living the dream. This is so great. And their response then was, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. I don't know the last time your mouth was filled with laughter. I mean, proper laughter. Where you've laughed for so long that your ribs begin to ache. Has that ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you in church? In a gathering? Where not that you've laughed at the joke that the sermon has just given you. But actually you've laughed and you've had that experience where actually the Holy Spirit has come on you. And one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is that he releases that joy in you. We shouldn't be afraid of manifestation. We shouldn't be afraid of actually sometimes that is about laughter. One of the things that I always remember about Paula is that Paula had this laugh. And if you were in either, you know, it might have been in a gathering context when we're all together and she's being prayed for, or it might have just been in a social context. There was something that was very infectious about being around Paula with her laugh. And we need people like that in our lives, don't we? We need people around us where we know that we can just have a good laugh. But also we know that actually when we understand what God has done for us, then actually there's a point where that joy releases something in us in terms of our mouths being full. I think it's interesting as well when you read this in terms of living the dream. There's a witness about that. The psalmist says, doesn't he? He says, look, they will say amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. I think when we get understanding then of what God has done for us, the way that he's restored us, it becomes a witness to those around us. As you know, we've had some visits out to a church in America called Bethel Church. And one of the things that they in Reading, one of the descriptions that the town of Reading, the city of Reading, has for the Bethel Church is that they call them the happy people. I think that's quite a good description. There could be a lot of worse things that we could be called as Christians. But if we were known as the happy people, if we were not because of that false, let's walk around with a fake smile on, but actually because we've understood that we've been restored to a restored position, that now we are who we are because of what God has done for us, we give testimony for what God has done, the great things God has done for them, we are glad. One of the reasons why we pick up on storytelling, one-minute stories, telling your testimony, giving thanks, is because when we do that, something about our perspective changes and we become glad. We're glad for what God has done. So, what is interesting in the psalm is that the first bit of the psalm is like looking at the dream. It's like, this is what God has done. He's restored us to a restored position. The second part of the psalm is actually a prayer for the future, where there's other things going on in our lives where we haven't fully been restored in some aspects of our lives. So let me read it to you from verse 4. It says, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out with weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. These two verses here are like a model of prayer for us as individuals, when actually there's something going on in our lives where the reality is is that this sense of being restored, this joy, just isn't at the heart of, or at the forefront of who we are. When it talks about the streams in the Negev, that was the northern region of, is it the northern or the southern? Let me just make sure I tell you the right thing. It's the southern part. Who said that? You're very good. I'm very impressed. So this is the area to the south of Jerusalem, and it was a desert area, and so it was talking about the streams coming in. The streams would come into the desert area, and we know what it's like when streams, when water comes in to a desert, you know, where we're feeling parched. We know what it's like personally sometimes when we're very thirsty, when we have a drink, and just what that does to us, the refreshment it brings. This is what the psalmist is saying, is that when we have that perspective, when we understand that God is restoring us, it's just like streams come into our lives. Streams of water refresh us in those parts that we can't understand. And I wanted just to give you a little bit of an aid to memoir, just to think about this in terms of how we can access more of this joy. And it's around the word happy. So I'm not going to sing the song, but I want to use the H, the A, the P, and the P, and the Y, just to give you something to remember. The first thing about joy, I think, is to do with humility. I think we have to accept that we need help. We need somebody to restore us to our restored position. We can't do it on our own. We need somebody's help. And the truth is that we have somebody's help. Jesus said, didn't he, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Happy, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That the psalm is saying that restoration begins with having the humility to ask. Having the humility to ask that you need this restoring, you need this help, that you're not going to be able to do it on your own. The A stands for advice. And I've wanted to put this in because actually in the psalm, it talks about our fortunes being restored. Sometimes we can individualize this, which is right, because actually, you know, the body of Christ is made up of the individual parts playing their part. But there's something collective about this. And I think we have to be aware of that in the context of community. If we're talking about joy, if we're talking about happiness, we have to recognize that for some of us, there'll be those seasons in our lives where for no apparent reason or fault, it's just really hard to be happy. I'm talking about times when we're feeling depressed. And not just feeling depressed, but we have depression. One of the things that we've been exploring within the life support team is how we can talk about mental health a little bit more openly. I find it really funny that somebody's put these here. I think this is really... Hopefully it doesn't offend anybody, but this is the Chester Student Union, their poster for their college. It says, it's time to talk about mental health. I won't say the words because it is a little bit rude, but it's just interesting that it is in a student context that they're using something a little bit provocative to get people to talk about mental health. And we need to be people who talk about mental health. You know, and the danger is when we talk about joy, when we talk about happiness, there'll be some of us who are like, actually, I just can't. I just, you know, there's something going on inside me in terms of depression or mental health. There's an issue that I'm struggling with. And it's no good a Christian just going up to somebody and saying to them, well, just be happy. You know, just pray about it. Just do whatever. It's like, actually, we need advice. We need help. We need to get alongside one another. And we've been exploring this a little bit as a church. And we need those times when we get advice. We need to get people around us. Sometimes we do need to go and see a doctor. Sometimes we do need to get people around us who will pray for us, who will understand what we're going through. Now, I wanted to make that distinction in terms of, you know, it's not about temperament. It's not about people who are sort of slightly melancholy or have a bit of an Eeyore complex. We're talking about some deep things that go on in people where we just have to watch out for that in the context of community. And that's not to deny the joy of God, but actually it's to recognize that God does want to restore everyone back to that restored position. That there is healing and wholeness and freedom for all of us, whether that's physical, mental, spiritual healing. But just to be aware of that, I just thought it was an important thing in terms of context. The first P then, as we go through the word happy, is about perspective. I've been reflecting on this for a while, and I spoke a while back about it, that actually perspective is so important in our lives, isn't it? It really is. That if you need to get the right perspective on things and to work through your perspective sometimes on something, that your perspective on a particular thing could be wrong. But it's still your perspective, so therefore you have to work that through. You have to make sure that, first of all, how do we make sure we keep getting God's perspective on something? How do we understand what God is doing for us? That's where, in these Psalms, what these Psalms are saying to us is like, actually, lift up your heads. It's what Ed said a few weeks ago. It's what Ben was talking about in terms of giving thanks to God, recognizing what God is doing in our lives is about that perspective. Because actually, when we've got our eyes down, when we're involved in the stuff of life, which we all get caught up in, there are those times that we do need to lift our heads. There are those times when we do need to get that perspective. And it's interesting, isn't it, that there's that contrast here, that there will be times, it's no good, is it, you know, again, to swing the other way and just talk about joy and happiness and laughter, when there are those times in people's lives when there are tears. Let's not deny that as well. Let's not be so ill-equipped to go up to somebody who is, you know, in a moment where they really do need to express sadness and say, well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's, you know, but to give them that perspective that tears, according to this psalm, will always lead to rejoicing. Tears will always lead to being comforted. There's a process that goes on in this psalm. When we have that perspective, and Al and I had lunch on Friday, and we were just reflecting a little bit on the recent death of Alan's brother, and just how you handle that those key moments in life as a Christian, and how that impacts you when the person who's died is a Christian. How do you work that through? You know, how do you find that place where Paul says the sting of death has been beaten? But actually there's still a place to mourn. There's still a loss that's happened. But there is something, a perspective within us that says, actually, this isn't the end. And that's where Al and I were talking on Friday a little bit. This is not the end for Alan's brother. It's not the end in terms of seeing him again. Those of us who have faith, it really is a au revoir. But it's about perspective then, isn't it? It's like, how do we help people lift their eyes? How do we walk with people to go through the valley of tears, which we do have to go through when we hit bad news? Something difficult happens to us. We have to go through that valley, but how do we help people not get stuck in the valley? And that's probably the truth for many of us, is that we get stuck in the valley and we don't get through to the place where we can rejoice and laugh and experience the joy again. For many of us, it comes back to what God has done for us in the cross. That perspective all the time, isn't it? Jesus had said, for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. So if you just think about what was going on inside Jesus' head on Good Friday, part of what was going through his head was that he saw something in terms of his perspective. There was a joy. The joy was you and me. The joy was us coming into relationship, humanity having access to the Father. That was the joy that was before him, so he could endure. And there's those times, aren't there, where we do have to endure, but we do then need people around us who will just encourage us to keep a different perspective as needed here. Let's just lift our heads. Let's pray with you. Let's talk together. Let's help one another to push through this. And then the second P is prayer. You know, it seems quite simple, but actually we need to pray. Lord, restore us to a restored position. I encourage you to make sure that you are praying about things. It's so easy not to pray about things. It's like whatever's going on in your life, we'll do a whole list of other things, and then we'll think, oh, you know what? I ought to pray about this. Let me encourage us, and I'm speaking to myself. Let's make prayer the first thing we do, not the third thing we do, the fifth thing we do. Build it into your life. Build it into your rhythms of things that are going on in your life to say, well, actually, I'll pray about it. I've spoken to four people today who have got physical things going on in their body. Difficult, bad shoulder, bad back. I have not once said to any of them, I'll pray for you. Like, I'm thinking, like, I'm preaching. Why didn't I do that? It's like, why don't we do it? Why don't we just take a moment to pray with people, for people? Because actually prayer is what opens it up to us. This is what, you know, the prayer is, restore us to our restored position. If we're not praying it, then I don't believe we can expect God to do it in that sense. And then finally, the why. The why is about you. The why is about actually the place where you find the most joy. I think that the place where you find the most sense of what God is doing in your life is when you are free to be you. Actually be you, not to try and be somebody else, not to try and compare yourself to this person or that person, but actually to find out what it is that God has made you to be. To find out from God, that perspective from God is like, actually, through the gospel, you are enabled to be the person that God has called you to be. That you can be you. You don't have to be anybody else. That God has made you unique. And that's about being restored to a place where you are in a restored place. All of us have stuff in our lives. All of us. Where we need to be restored, we need to be rescued, we need to be redeemed, we need to be healed. We need to find that place of reconciling stuff. But actually in the midst of that, you then can be you. And when you're you, when you feel comfortable about who you are, and you know that you're with God and for God, that's when I think you can be glad. That's when you can rejoice, even when sometimes the circumstances of life don't allow you to. There's times when you can just laugh at it. It's like, actually, I'm not going to take that as being the truth. I'm going to just step back and get God's perspective on it. I just encourage you to do that. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson were out camping. And Holmes woke up Watson in the middle of the night and pointed up to the stars. Watson blinked the sleep out of his eyes at Holmes and asked Holmes asked him, what did he deduce? Watson said, well, astronomically, I deduced there are millions of galaxies and potential billions of planets. Astrologically, I deduce that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is approximately a quarter past three. Meteorologically, I deduce that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What about you, Holmes, said Watson. What do you deduce? Watson, said Holmes slowly, I deduce that someone has stolen the tent. Joy is really complex, and it is also really simple. There are those times when we need to think that happy is not just being trite, and the more profound we're going to become, the more miserable we have to become. There's something about joy that we need to embrace. It's that perspective. You know, there's that verse in Revelation, and I'll finish with this. It says, God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21. There is that time, isn't there, coming? And we live in this tension now of the now and not yet. All about pulling in the kingdom of God into now is like, this is this future world where there will be no more pain, there will be no more crying, there will be no more tears, because God will be with them as their God. That's the perspective that we're pulling in. When actually we are in a moment when we are tearful, when we are weeping, when we are in pain. So let me encourage you in this psalm to be prayerful, to say, as the psalmist did, Lord, restore me to my restored position. And then fill my mouth with laughter. Let's pray. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's just take 2 minutes just before we come to the close. I want to encourage you just to be really present in this moment. Just to take that moment, maybe to stand with your hands out in front of you, take up a posture where we ourselves to just open up our hearts, open up our hands. Because in this moment, I believe God wants to impart to us something of his nature. Proverbs 17 says, a cheerful heart is like medicine. And I just want to pray for us this morning that we would experience more of the joy of God in our lives, that we would understand that perspective and see things that we perhaps haven't seen before. And even for some of us who are in the valley of tears, the valley of weeping, may we know that there is a time coming when we will be through that moment and that there will be laughter, there will be joy restored to us. Lord, renew our hope this morning when we need it, that we will not be stuck. And because you, Heavenly Father, are our God with us, then we can pull down heaven to earth. We can experience your love, your care, your joy in our lives. So just come, Holy Spirit, as we just wait on you for a few moments. Just come and speak to us, release your presence into our lives afresh and anew. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh, we pray this morning.
As we're just standing here waiting on the Lord, I just want to share this. During the worship time, I had a picture. And the picture was quite an unusual picture, and it was of a bridge, a flat bridge, going across a piece of water. And what was significant about this bridge is it was really narrow. And it was so narrow, it was almost difficult to walk on. And I just felt the Lord say, there may be one person or more than one here today that feels that what they're doing is walking a tightrope. They're not quite sure which way they're going to fall, and they feel like they're falling. And I just felt like God say that it's okay, that he can get you across the other side, and that he is right here, right now, standing with you. So, Father, I just pray if there's anyone that speaks to, that they would know your presence right beside them right now. They would know your nearness and your love and your grace to get to the side. Thank you, Jesus.
So we're going to sing a final song at this point. And as we start to sing the song, parents of children who are in creche, sunbeams, rockers, jigsaw, you need to go and get your children. There'll be some people on the welcome team around just to tell you where to go if you're not sure where to go in terms of the rooms. Please don't rush. I know we haven't got refreshments, but don't feel you've got to rush off. Please hang around, and there's quite a lot of chill-out zones down the front if you want to just get to know, catch up with people. We're only together every other week, so you might just want to chat with somebody you haven't seen for a while. And also there's opportunity to be prayed for if you want somebody to pray with you this morning. If there's something going on in your life, physically or emotionally or mentally, then you just want somebody to stand with you, then there'll be a few people as well just out here in this area who will be willing to pray for you. Look out for my Sue, and there'll be a few others around there to pray. But at this point, if you start to sing parents, you need to go and get your children. Thanks so much for coming. And we'll see you again in this context in a fortnight's time. There must be